time for another Castle Country Focus interview on KOALITV.com. Also on KOAL 1073 FM 750 AM. I'm Dave Hokanson. Joining me today in studio, I have Debbie Pappas. She is with Second Chance Wildlife Rehabilitation. We're going to talk about, you know, what's going on out there and some of the things that you're going to start noticing in, you know, with the fall coming on. I know it's really hot outside right now, but eventually it will start cooling down as far as animals and how to take care of those kinds of things. And just, you know, what Second Chance Wildlife really does, because it needs help from all of us. So, Debbie, thank you for coming in today. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Dave.
So let's start off and let everybody know what it is that Second Chance Wildlife does.
Okay, great. So we are entrusted by the state of Utah and U.S. Fish and Wildlife to take care of all injured, orphaned, and sick wildlife within the Utah boundaries.
And so we were just talking off the air. So like if the DWR even, for instance, comes upon an animal that is injured, anything like that, they call you.
Yes.
They can't take care of it. They're not allowed to even take care of
it,
correct?
Correct. They don't have the facilities, number one, and a lot of times the education to deal with the species. And that's not something the division has ever been interested in. So rehabilitators stepped up and said, this is obviously a niche that needs to be filled, and it can't just be filled by anybody. It has to be filled. It's a profession. So we went through the steps of getting our licenses through the state and through the feds to do exactly what it is we do.
Okay, so how many people like you or organizations like you are in the state of Utah?
So Utah only has a total of 8 wildlife rehabilitators, and they all do different things except for 3. And the 3 that we all work with all the same wildlife are myself, Delyn Erickson up in Ogden, and Carmen Smith down at Best Friends. So us 3, we all work with mammals, birds, all species of birds. And we have facilities built for everything that we work with.
So. And then the other 5 are kind of like specialize in, say, birds or?
Well, like there's a gal in Wendover, and she's only allowed to work with mammals. There's other people throughout the state that work with raptors, and they prefer only to work with raptors. Songbirds are, you know, the smaller the bird, the harder it is. The more you would think it the other way around, but no. So a lot of people don't want to work with the small songbirds because they're just difficult to work with. And same with the small mammals. They're not interested in squirrels or cottontails, and we are. And we love working with them. We also work with bats. And there's only the 3 of us in the state that work with bats.
Okay, so, and then what kind of an area do you cover?
So my permits, just like all rehabilitators, are for border to border all of Utah. However, obviously, say, for instance, Delyn up in Ogden, if something happened a mile away from her, they would obviously take it to her. So I'm allowed to take wildlife from throughout the state, but I cover the biggest geographical area, which I usually cover about 16, 17 counties. So it's huge, our area. And what's really bad for the wildlife that is turned over to us is by the time they're found, usually, not all the time, sometimes it happened right then and there, and then they get turned over. But for the most part, they're laying there languishing for a day or weeks. Some will hang out. I mean, by the time they come to us, the injuries that caused them to go down is the least of their concerns now. They're starving to death, literally minutes away from death. So sometimes they don't even make it to us.
Okay.
It's that bad.
And you were talking right now, it seems like owls are a big thing right now.
Yeah, we're getting ready to finish up with all of our barn owls and releases. Then the great horns, it'll be their turn. So we've been very, very busy this year, and I think a lot of it has to do with the COVID-19, because a lot of people are working from home, and so they're out finding things that normally wouldn't be seen because they'd be at work. So it's not just in our region. All the other rehabilitators that I work with are experiencing the same things. DeLynn, I don't know how she does it. She's right in an urban area, and people, I mean, she literally, we have two full-time people, and we run about 450 patients a year. This year, it's going to be higher. I can already tell you that. And up in Ogden, she probably does 2,500 patients a year. But she has 50 volunteers.
Right.
So there's a big difference there. But, you know, there's no other place for these animals to go. Wildlife is protected, and it cannot be kept by the general public. And sadly, that happens. And then as they're dying, people will call us. Well, you've already done the damage. We can't help you at this point. It needs time is of the essence when it comes to these situations.
Right. And it always seems like every year there's a story about there that somebody finds what they think is an abandoned fawn or something out there.
Yeah.
And they decide they're going to take this thing and try and nurse it back to health, and that is probably the worst thing that you can do.
Absolutely. They're not, I know that the people are feeling good about it, but that's because they're fooling themselves. They are not doing right by that animal, and they, I guarantee you, they're making that animal comfortable with humans. And then how can you release something like that? It is going to be comfortable with people the rest of its life, and most people, especially in this state, are if a deer walks up to you, they're going to pull out a gun and shoot it. So that's the reality, and we've had that happen. I know, I think it was last year, the year before, we had this very same scenario happen in Wellington, where some guy had raised a couple of deer, and they were just wandering up to people. It's not a good situation. Wild things are supposed to stay wild. They're not pets. And so I see this a lot with raccoons and different animals all the time. And it's like, you've done a terrible thing, not a wonderful thing. They're looking for kudos from me. And I'm a rehabilitator. I want to see everything stay wild. And I just, it breaks my heart knowing what this animal, what these people have convinced themselves that they've done is great. And this poor animal is suffering as a result because it can't find a mate. It doesn't know the language. It doesn't know how to communicate with others of its own kind because it's been raised by people.
Right.
That's horrible.
Right. And, you know, and that we talked about this before, as is, if you see something like that, 90% of the time, mom's coming back.
Absolutely.
And if it becomes something where you've seen it there in the exact same spot, maybe 24, 48, 72 hours, then maybe call the DWR.
Absolutely. But the reality is moms have to leave, and they have to go forage. And babies, newborns particularly, need a lot of rest. And I'm not saying that moms never get hurt and babies end up in situations where they need help. That doesn't happen. Of course it happens. But more often than not, that is not the case. And I tell you all the time, people will call me and say, oh, you're right, here comes the mom. And it's like, why wasn't she coming? Because you're sitting there. She's not going to come with you sitting right there. And she needs to nurse that baby. Get out of there. Leave that baby alone.
Leave the baby be.
Yeah.
Leave the baby be.
Exactly.
All right. Now, let's talk about the other part of this, is the fact that Second Chance is completely volunteer-based.
Yes. We're all professionals. We have to have certain credentials and experience and knowledge. But the reality is the state of Utah does not pay us for our work. U.S. Fish and Wildlife doesn't pay us for our work. Everything that we do, we have to seek out and find on our own. And in our area, it's really difficult. We get a lot of support, like from Grand County, but in Carbon County, very little.
Okay. And you were saying to me beforehand, if somebody wants to come out and volunteer, that's great and that's awesome, but they do have to be at least 18.
Yes. We have dangerous animals there. So we want to keep everybody safe. and kids, you know, I can't be babysitting kids and also doing my work. So that's not my job. My job is taking care of the wildlife. So if somebody is going to, you know, we have had scouts come out and things like that to do projects. And what we do for them is make sure that they're not in a dangerous situation. But we try, we definitely don't want kids running around. And it's a hospital. We want to keep the patients safe. And anytime they see people, hear people, that's why we keep our interactions with them limited. It causes stress. They're already in a stressful situation. They're around us when they should be free, but we're trying to get them well to get them free.
Okay. So if anybody wants to volunteer, you said right now you're looking for, you've got some landscaping things that need to be done out there, trees that need to be planted, those kinds of things.
Yep.
Just working around the center itself. But if anybody wants to come and give you a hand, what's the best way to get a hold of you?
So my cell phone, they can call me at any time, is 435-650-3441. And we're always looking for transporters as well. And those are people, because we cover such a huge geographical part of Utah, you know, obviously I'm taking care of the patients. I can't be gone. And so we would love to have people that we can say, hey, can you drive into Utah County? We just got a call from one of the animal control facilities and an owl was just dropped off. And they can't be in possession either. So we send a volunteer to go pick it up and then bring it back.
Okay, so if you want to do that kind of thing, give her a call. You also have a Facebook page. So you can get info off of that page.
We do, and if you just also Google, we have a website, and we're actually getting our website revamped by a wonderful, wonderful lady who's volunteered her publishing services, and she's getting ready to put together for the fall a silent auction for us.
Okay, and speaking of that, you were saying that, once again, this is all based on donations. If somebody would like to even donate their, once again, donate their time or a monetary type donation, how do they get in touch with you? Just the phone number again?
The phone number, or DWR knows how to get a hold of me. And everything people donate to us, they can write off their taxes because we are a 501c3.
Okay. Debbie Pappas with Second Chance Rehabilitation, Wildlife Rehabilitation. Thank you so much for taking out the time to come in today. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Dave.
Now, for more information on interviews like this, you can always check out our webpage, KOALITV.com. Also, listen for Castle Country Focus on KOAL 107.3 FM, 7:50 a.m.